Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, I want you to see, in the midst of difficulty, how God desires to care for his people. And so often, when we face difficulty, we think that God doesn't care. We immediately conclude, if things go wrong for me, God doesn't care. And there's a whole host of reasons that don't include that one. God always cares. But God always wants what is best for us, what will most move us in the direction of eternal life with God, which is really the deepest thing your being cries for. It is. It's what you were made for. You weren't made for 70 or 80 years in this life alone. You're made for eternal life. And suffering, though we hate it, I don't know what stronger term to use than that. We don't like suffering. We don't want suffering. Thank God we don't. But God uses it to draw us to himself. Are we willing to go through suffering and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me what you're doing. Teach me how to respond to what you're doing. And then you'll benefit tremendously, even in the midst of the suffering. You'll benefit. Let's take a look at this first reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 4, and it's the first 11 verses. The Philistines gathered for an attack on Israel. So Israel is facing its enemy. Israel went out to engage them in battle and camped at Ebenezer while the Philistines camped at Aphek. The Philistines then drew up in a battle formation against Israel. After a fierce struggle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who slew about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the troops retired to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord permitted us to be defeated today by the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the Lord from Shiloh that it may go into battle among us and save us from the grasp of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the ark of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned upon the cherubim. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the ark of God. And when the ark of the Lord arrived in the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth resounded. They trusted God. The Philistines, hearing the noise of shouting, asked, "What can this loud shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" On learning that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were frightened. They said, "Gods have come to their camp." They said also, "Woe to us, this has never happened before. Woe to us, who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods that struck the Egyptians with various plagues and with pestilence. Take courage and be manly, Philistines, otherwise you will become slaves to the Hebrews, as they were your slaves, so fight manfully." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his own tent. It was a disastrous defeat, in which Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were among the dead. It's one of the most disastrous times in Israel's history. What do you do when you're defeated? There are lots of things to say why they were defeated, but let's just take a look at what do you do when something happens to you that defeats you? What do you do? Do you despair? Do you speak against others? Or do you go before the Lord and say, "Lord, what would you teach me through this? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to understand? If my priorities are wrong, show me, help me, lead me." That's what you do. Rather than blaming everybody else and bemoaning your own circumstances, though I understand that. Don't misunderstand me. I understand all of that. But don't make that your primary conversation with God. First of all, have a conversation with God and then say, "Lord, teach me. What are you showing me? What are you teaching me? What do I need to learn here?" so that I don't fall into this trap again. That's called docility. That's teachable, being able to be taught. And that's what we need to do. And it's very hard when something disastrous happens, because so often we're tempted to blame everybody else or just blame ourselves. And in both cases, we end up kind of deaf to the voice of God, as we're so self-focused or focused on those we think caused us the tragedy that we can't seem to step back and say, Lord, show me what I've done wrong. Show me how to change this situation. Help me. It's amazing what God will do when we honestly come before him. But this is a time when Israel experienced a disastrous defeat. Very difficult time. And you'll see in the scriptures how they had to learn what they needed to do to change their circumstances. Redeem us, Lord, because of your mercy. Yet now you have cast us off and put us in disgrace. You go not forth with our armies. You have let us be driven back by our foes. Those who hated us plundered us at will. You made us the reproach of our neighbors, the mockery and the scorn of those around us. You made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. Why do you hide your face, forgetting our woe and our oppression? For our souls are bowed down to the dust, our bodies are pressed to the earth. They're almost despairing. But some among them cry out to God and ask God for help. And God always did amazing things for his people. Do you cry out to God? Or do you just blame yourself or blame other people? Do you come before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand what's going on. Teach me, what would you have me do? Not, I hate this person. If they hadn't been here, this wouldn't have happened, and they lied, and they did this, and that's why we're in this catastrophe. Whatever way it came, God allowed it. Find out what God wants to do through it, to restore, to heal, to make well. The gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A leper came to him and, kneeling down, begged him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. That's a very good way of phrasing it. If you wish, if it's your will, I know you can make me clean. Moved with pity, because he sees the faith. If you wish, you can make me clean. He sees a faith in there, in that person. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, I do will it. Be made clean. The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. You know what a scourge that was for people. Lepers were totally isolated. They couldn't contact family. They couldn't be in society. They couldn't work. They were just left alone. It was a horrible disease to have, with no known cures at that time. They were thought to be great sinners. Otherwise, why would have God sent that plague upon them? Brothers, sometimes we feel like we're like we're lepers too. We make mistakes. And we seem to be cast out or ostracized. Just turn to the Lord. The Lord never ostracizes. The Lord never pushes you out. He wants to draw you closer. And sometimes he uses difficult circumstances to make us cry out to him so that we can be drawn closer to him. Then it says that Jesus, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. And then he said to him, see that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. So the man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. What did Jesus tell him to do? He warned him. And then he said to him, see that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest And the man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. Everybody descended on him. That's not what Jesus wanted. He asked him to do something. And even though he had been made clean, he still couldn't do what God asked him to do. Think about that. We just keep right on doing the things we're accustomed to doing. Even though Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to obey God. We need to do what God asks us to do. Not more and not less. We need to learn. Are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to know when you should publicly speak of what God has done in your life and when you should keep it quiet? And you should be making your decisions not about what you think, but how can more people, if God has blessed me in some way, how can more people hear about this? How can I share what I have learned with more people? Sometimes the best way is over a cup of coffee, to be able to share what God's doing in your life. You don't go on and on and on, but you tell them. Because God desires that his truth and his kindness, his mercy, his charity be seen and known, that God wants to use you and me to help that happen in the lives of others, to bring them freedom. He really does. But it takes a relationship with God so that you don't do too much when God asks you to do something and you don't do too little. You do what you're asked to do. See, our egos are so big that even while we're dealing with God and we're saying to God, "God, I want to do whatever you want," we're still in there with, "But I hope it's this," or, "I think it could be this way." Because we still... I've said this to you so many times, but there was that time when a friend said to me, "Who do you think you are, the vice president of creation?" I will never forget that moment because it was closer to the truth than was comfortable for me. No, I didn't call myself vice president of creation, but I expected that God would listen to me and my ideas and how I think things should go. Wasn't that prayer? It's prayer to bring your need before God, but I don't think you should tell him what he should do. You say, "Here's my situation, Lord. I need help. Will you help me? I don't know what the best thing is here. So I have to trust you that you will point out the way to me." Or if you really think, and people have told you that you should ask God for a certain thing, and you put that in God's hands and you say, "Lord, I don't know. I'm doing this because it's the best advice I could get, so I'm going to bring this to you, but you are my God, not I. You are the one who can save me. You're the only one that can save me. Help me." God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on Faith More Precious Than Gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so, and that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.